Good to be here tonight in the Lord's house. Appreciate that song. That's one of my favorites. Love that song. Trust you can say that tonight, that you'd rather have Jesus than anything else, anybody else. Galatians 5. Tonight, Galatians 5, verses 15 through 17. Good to be here. And again, thankful that Brother Jonathan was able to get the air going again. Looked like we were going to have to meet in the fellowship hall. And I'm kind of a creature of habit. You get me teaching somewhere that's unfamiliar, preaching somewhere unfamiliar, that messes me up a little bit. Takes a little bit of an adjustment. And so I'm thankful. He swooped in and fixed it. I didn't even know he was here yet. Swooped in, however you say it, and fixed it. And so I'm thankful. I praise the Lord for that. And John texted me and said he wasn't going to be able to be here tonight. And I was walking through, and I looked out and saw his brother there, and I said, well, John must have been able to make it after all. But no. So is this the first time we've met, brother?
I've been here before.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. Was yeah, that's what it was, brother. I just thought you was somebody else. That's what it was. All right, Galatians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. We're looking tonight at don't bite one another. That's what we're looking at. Galatians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather in your house this evening. I thank you, Lord, for your people that have been able to gather here tonight. Ask you to be with those unable to be here, the Steels, the Millers, the Biazos, not feeling well tonight either, heat-related. Just ask you, Lord, just to be with them. And as your word is open tonight, just ask you to lead and guide. And I just ask you, Lord, just to use me tonight and give me the words that you would have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. We're looking tonight, once again, at not biting one another. Essentially, don't bite one another. If you remember this last Sunday night, we looked a little bit about unity amongst believers as it came up and how we should delight in other believers. And tonight, we're looking at don't bite one another. We read verse 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Paul warns the Galatians about the dangers of fighting and division among believers. Paul discusses the dangers that are associated with biting one another. Biting one another at best results in taking chunks out of each other, leaving one another lame. Biting one another at worst results in devouring one another. So one limits the use of another, while the other annihilates the use of another. At camp a couple of weeks ago, the preacher for the teens said this, and it stuck out to me, stuck out to several, and it even stuck out to the young people. A couple of them mentioned this quote in their testimonies. You are never more like the devil than when you are tearing down other Christians. You know, we see faults in others at times, and then we devour them. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So the devil has a mission, and that is to devour mankind. That includes Christians. The devil can devour you and I.
And he seeks to do that. He roams about seeking whom he may devour. The word devour means to destroy, to annihilate, to consume, to waste. So the usefulness of someone is laid to waste whenever they are devoured. And believers are devoured one bite at a time. And the more biters you have, the devouring of an individual could be complete in a matter of seconds. Paul is using words to paint an image for us of wild animals that are tearing something apart. When Christians argue, gossip, or attack each other in pride or jealousy, they weaken the body of Christ. They weaken the unity of the body. The tragedy is this: as the devil amps up his attacks and his last minute efforts against the human race, he is after Christians more than he is any other. And we're no more like the devil than when we allow the devil to use us to attack each other. What Paul is warning the Galatians of is, if you bite one another, if you devour one another, you will be consumed by one another. And the result is destruction. The result is being consumed one of another. You know, Satan doesn't have to destroy the church if we destroy each other. One of the things they tried to instill in us in the Marines, especially after Marines would get caught fighting. And there were times that Marines out in training, it's hot, you're out in the desert, somebody says the wrong thing, and here you got a couple guys, three or four guys, who are on the same team, fist fighting. Like they're almost about trying to kill each other. And after those examples, or after those events, leadership would use it as an opportunity to say, "Hey, you're on the same team. You're on the same side. If somebody takes one of you out, don't let it be one of you. Let it be the enemy. Let it be somebody else." A preacher friend of mine texted me the other day and said, "I have left Facebook. Too many of my preacher friends are fighting each other." What is happening? Christianity is devouring one another. I put it to you this way. So many believers today are devouring one another over issues that they see in one another. And I want to tell you why this is dangerous. Everyone gets consumed in that culture. That includes you and I. There are some animal species that will devour their sick within their pack. It shouldn't be said of us. We should be better than the wild beast of the field. You and I have weaknesses. You and I have areas in our life where we fall short of God's glory. How can you and I ever get right if we are devoured? How can we ever get right if we are consumed? You know, we have devoured our sick to the point that people are scared to come forward at times with sickness. If you can't come to the church or to the pastor over some spiritual ailment, then who can you go to? Paul is warning the church about biting one another. You know, if you sit down to a nice piece of steak or a nice burger, you eat it one bite at a time. It is consumed, annihilated, one bite at a time. And we are either consumed one bite at a time, or we consume our brother and sister in Christ one bite at a time. We can take bites out of one another without them ever knowing it. It comes in two ways. One is backbiting. That's essentially you are biting them from behind when they're not looking. I read a quote this week. "Few friendships would survive if each one knew what his friend says of him behind his back." You know, it's broken my heart at times, the poison that I've heard spewed about someone by a supposed friend of theirs. But the birds of a feather flock together. There's no honor among thieves. A thief will rob a thief, even if friends. A thief will rob a thief, even if family. A gossip will gossip on a gossip, even if friends. And a gossip will gossip on a gossip, even if family. What is your relationship built upon? You can expect from that relationship nothing more, nothing less than what the relationship is built upon. Think of backbiting this way also. Spurgeon said, if there were no gratified hearers of ill reports, there would be an end of the trade of spreading them. Kind of like alcohol. If nobody drank it, there'd be no distribution. You know, back when alcohol became legal, it was in response to a whole bunch of people making it. A whole bunch of people wanting it. There was demand. So to meet the demand, here comes supply. Here comes distribution to meet the demand. Outside of backbiting, we can bite and devour others in our thoughts and in our hearts, and before long, a person, a preacher, a pastor is dead to us because we devoured them. And then we shared them with others for others to devour them also. Kind of like the wild beast that kills and drags off its prey back to its den for the whole pack to take part in devouring the prey. There are preachers even doing this very thing. They devour a man, then they bring their prey before the masses to be devoured even the more. And most of the time, believers devour someone they don't even know over something said by someone they don't know regarding a matter that they know absolutely nothing about. No fool is a greater fool than the fool that Proverbs speaks of in Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and a shame unto him. Emphasis on answering without hearing. If you answer without hearing, it's a folly. And it's a shame unto the person who does it. Spurgeon says, be deaf, be blind, be dead to gossip. And it would grow disgusted with you and select a more sensitive victim. Notice what Ecclesiastes says, Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 through 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Notice the phrase, the conclusion of the whole matter. When we consider the word matter, it implies a situation. It implies an event. And Ecclesiastes says the whole matter, which paints a portrait for us that a matter has a substance to it. Essentially, a matter consists of something. And when the matter involves people and one or more persons dealing with a specific subject, to not speak to both parties about the subject at hand and to walk away with an answer is a folly. But an even greater folly would be to take your answers to others. And a characteristic of fools and a characteristic of the devil is to not hear a matter but come to a conclusion anyway. Why? Because it leads to devouring one another. I ask you tonight, have you ever been devoured? Have you ever been consumed? I'd say you have, whether you realize it or not. I remember a time, not around here, but I got a phone call from a very unpleasant, somewhat local pastor. And by the time I got off the phone with him, after about 30 minutes, he had about ate my head. And you know what? Usually, sometimes it's because of sometimes when preachers can sometimes get into it, or pastors can sometimes get into it. Sometimes it's over sheep. That's what this one was about. But you walk away at times from situations and you're like, man, I was just devoured by somebody. I was just consumed. Do you have anyone in your life who's perhaps written you off? You probably have, whether you realize it or not. There have been times, even in the ministry, where a situation happens and people hear versions of what has happened. It's a version that surrounds a matter that I was a part of. No one spoke to me about it, but they changed around me after it. Why is that? Someone got to them. Have you ever had someone suddenly quit talking to you? Suddenly you were canceled by them. Chances are someone got to them with something about you. As a preacher, that's scary because I can't help someone that an individual has served me on the platter to for the purpose of being devoured. Because chances are the person will believe one side of the story. And this is what scares me about divisions and infighting and the devouring of one another in our churches. Is if we kill each other, how does that benefit the cause of Christ? It doesn't. So how do we avoid devouring one another? We're going to look at the practical and then get to the spiritual. First off, it's blunt but true. Not saying it would apply to anybody here, but first off, it's blunt but true. Those that are like this need to, quite frankly, get a life. I don't know anyone who lives a life worth living that has time to be worried about everyone else. This goes for preachers too. They can't seem to fill their time with anything else but spying on other preachers and spying on other churches. I read this quote this week. Do you know that the Bible warns against being nosy, intrusive, meddling, a busybody, and a gossiper? Watch out for the temptation of idleness. Honor God by making good use of your time and your words. So you see, there's a connection between idleness and talebearing. There's a connection between idleness and gathering reports to tell. Now to the spiritual side. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. How many times do we as believers take each other out of the fight? I dare say when I got off the phone with that pastor that day, I didn't have much in me left for the rest of the day. I tell you, my day was shot after that. And when you think about it, you think about some of the things that you have gone through. And the times that you've been devoured, you've been consumed, there was some form of attack that was waged against you. How productive were you for a little bit after the fact? You know, it takes a while sometimes to work through wounds, to work through difficulties, to work through trials and tragedy. So if you're walking in the Spirit, that's the key to it all. Proverbs 26:20, this is our last reference for the evening. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. You know, one of the things that, and we're not on live stream tonight, but one of the things at Caesarea that I tried to lead in is after things happen. Sometimes I pray nothing happens here, but sometimes there may be things that happens in the church that everybody finds out about. The best thing we can do after it happens is to quit talking about it. That's the best thing we can do, is just move on from it. But you know what? There was tragically at times, even after some of those events, where you might have one or you might have two, that 4 years after the event, they're still telling people, new visitors, about something that happened in the church 4 years ago. Quit talking about it. Move on. Let it go. Where there's no wood, it's going to go out. It's going to die. And sometimes that's what we need. We just need the fire to go out. Sometimes there's going to be fires. There's going to be fires in the church. There's going to be things that happen. You pray to God that it won't. But at times it happens. And when it does, if we don't quit, if we don't keep putting wood on it, it'll go out. You know what people do? They move on. After a while, some of the most difficult things in their life and the most difficult things a church will have to deal with in time, we don't think about it every day anymore. We don't think about it every week anymore. We don't think about it every month anymore. But that only happens if people let it die. But the more you talk about it, the more wood.
I think my battery just died. Well, maybe it's going in and out. One last quote here, and we're going to close for the evening. Spurgeon says, "Would it not be a great degradation of your office if you were to keep an army of spies in your pay to collect information as to all that your people said of you? And yet it amounts to this if you allow certain busybodies to bring you all the gossip of the place." Spurgeon says, "Drive the creatures away. Abhor those mischief-making, tattling handmaidens to strife. Those who will fetch, will carry, and no doubt the gossips go from your house and report every observation which falls from your lips with plenty of garnishing of their own. Remember that as the receiver is as bad as the thief, so the hearer of scandal is a share in the guilt of it. If there were no listening ears, there would be no tale-bearing tongues. While you are a buyer of ill wares, the demand will create the supply, and the factories of falsehood will be working full time. No one wishes to become a creator of lies, and yet he who hears slanders with pleasure and believes them with readiness will hatch many a brood into active life." This is something that we have to warn against in our churches. And it's something that has been on my heart. I'm not on Facebook a lot, but at times I get on Sarah's Facebook and I check on different people that I know, just seeing how they're doing. That's sometimes I have ways of not communicating with people to see how they're doing. Even now, when I'm going through Rusk, if I see Brother Josh's vehicle at work, I know he's okay. So I don't have to text him if he's okay. He's at work. He's probably okay. I used to drive past Miss Melissa's work. If she's at work, then I know she's okay. If it was on Wednesday and she wasn't there, then I'm thinking, okay, something might be wrong with Miss Melissa. I need to start praying for Miss Melissa. Then we get here on Wednesday night, and he said, "Miss Melissa got a migraine. She wasn't at work." So I said, something ain't right with Miss Melissa. So I got ways. So I'm not always communicating, but I'm paying attention. I'm paying attention. I got ways of checking up on people, just making sure they're okay, that they're healthy, not trying to be a snoop or a spy or anything. I'm just observing. Just observing. I'm paying attention. I'm paying attention. I'm checking up on folks just to make sure they're okay, make sure they're healthy, they're alive, they're well, that's how it is. Sometimes I go and I check on folks on Facebook, preachers and stuff like that. Some of my preacher friends say I need to text them more, and I say, "You need to text me more. You ain't text me in the same amount of time. Same amount of time you ain't text me. You ain't text me either. Don't put it all on me. I need to text you more. We need to text each other more." Put a "we" in there. But I check on them.
And sometimes I pop my head up above the water. I like to be in control of it, though. I like to control what I see and what I hear. When I'm ready for it, I go look, see how folks are. Because I know sometimes, what I might see might be the latest controversy in the IFB that we're squabbling over, something that we're fighting over this week. And like I told y'all a couple weeks ago, I don't preach on what the latest squabble is in the IFB. I don't preach on that. I don't give it the time of day. I don't think any of us should give it the time of day. Just let people, if they're going to fight, let them fight. And stay out of it. I stay out of it. To be honest with you, I don't care. I care about who's fighting here. I care about who's fighting over there. I don't care. I don't. But I go out and I see it. And I see Christians devouring one another. Devouring one another. And it's sad. Utterly consuming one another. And it's tragic. It's tragic. And like I said, in according to verse 15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another of another. Be careful. I'm not saying anyone here is, but be careful if you're a biter. Because if you create that culture, and we have that culture in the church, you got a bite coming your way too. Somebody's going to bite you, and you're not going to like it when you get bit. So we can't have that culture. And we don't need that culture in Christianity either, where everybody's biting each other. They use the verse to justify, and I was talking with another pastor today, and it was an encouragement to me. We agreed on the stance that sometimes people, they'll have the one right. And yeah, they got the right position, but they throw out a whole bunch of other Bible trying to stand and fight for that one right. And it's tragic that we're destroying one another. We're devouring one another. And it breaks my heart too, because there are sheep. There are sheep in churches that go online and see their pastor acting a complete fool on Facebook. Acting a complete fool. Throwing out half the Bible he preaches on Sunday in a Facebook fight. And it's tragic. But that's where we're at. Christians are devouring one another. And I refuse to take part in it. I refuse to. And I encourage you to refuse to take part in it. Find something better to do with your time. And again, I'm not saying it's anybody here, but find something better to do with your time. And I'd encourage them to do the same. Podcast coming out tomorrow morning dealing with, it's an extra one that's dealing with this right here. And I hope it gets shared, because people need to see that, you know what? We're devouring one another, and it needs to stop. In these last days, we need everybody that we can get. We need all the Christians that we can get. And we got to quit devouring one another. We got to. We ain't got that many of us to begin with. And who the devil don't get, we do. That's tragic. It's tragic. Can't be us, and it can't be here.